And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spears back with you on this Monday, July the 25th, 2016, 1:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You are tuned into the Now program here on WWGH Radio, and we are having a great time. We're going to have a guest here momentarily that's going to be a lot of fun, and then we're going to get back to current events conversation, because there certainly is a lot of current events going on in the world today. You name it, between... Holy moly, the Democratic National Convention kicking off tonight with speakers First Lady Michelle Obama and Bernie Sanders, as well as Debbie Wasserman Schultz getting booed today, the Democratic chairperson, as she is set to resign on Friday. All kinds of things going on. Emails being hacked. You never know what's going on, that's for sure. And that's why you've got to keep your radio tuned to WWGH Radio, the only place to be. We're working on something right now, getting a guest here very quickly. So we're going to come back, hopefully, with that guest in just a moment. Don't you dare go anywhere. Oh, now, wait a second. That's not what we want. See, you hit the wrong one, and all things go up the window. Okay, here we go.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can... you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spears back with you on this Monday. And as many of you are familiar of, that is the classic TV game show theme song, Match Game, which was one of the most interesting, most fun game shows of the 1960s, 1970s, on into the 80s, and even brought back today. And we thought with the latest game show craze that's been going on here this past summer, that we would play a little version of our own Match Game. Now, what we're going to do is we are going to bring on a celebrity guest, as you do on the Match Game, and we are going to ask her some questions, and she will fill in the blank. Now, how we will play this game is after we let this celebrity guest panelist go off the line and have her answers documented, later on in this program, we will ask the same questions again, and if you have her answers, you could win a prize. Tickets to the zoo, tickets to Zumbezi Bay, tickets to Kosai, all kinds of great things. Now, here's what's even more fun about this today. The guest we have on Match Game today is not only one of my favorite guests, not only one of the greatest actresses there ever was, not only the voice of the greatest villain in Disney history, Ursula from The Little Mermaid, not only an Emmy winner, she was a panelist at one point on the original Match Game. We welcome to our little version of the Match Game here, the legendary Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well. What, was it fun to hear that old music again?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, memories, memories, memories. Oh, my golly, so many of them. I am so grateful for the life I have had in this profession because I've stored up so many lovely memories. And I bless all of them, and I'm grateful for every second I've spent in this wondrous profession.
Absolutely. Pat, when you went on those game shows back in the 60s and 70s, what was it like to go on with regular people there, and you wanted to win prizes for people? How did you take those game shows?
I loved them because I love games. My whole family is a game-playing family. We always have been, and we love it. And I always had such fun on those shows, particularly because you weren't playing with other professionals. You were playing with civilians, people. And that was so much fun because they were real people, and it made it very normal. You know what I mean?
Well, as a celebrity panelist on these shows, were you rooting for the regular person to win?
Oh, absolutely, and I always felt like such an idiot. If I lost, I just felt dreadful for my partner, because it is a game, and you are a team, and it, you know, so I would feel like such a schmuck sitting there having lost. It was dreadful, but I loved playing. I loved playing, and the people that I played with were so gracious and so kind and so dear. It was fun.
Do all those game shows you did, how many would you guess that you did during your time?
Oh, I couldn't even make an estimate, because there for a period of time, when game shows on television were so popular, I was working all the time on game shows. And I totally enjoyed it. I totally had fun. I totally enjoyed my civilian partners. It was joyous work.
Did you have a favorite game show moment on any of those shows that sticks out in your mind?
Oh, Lord, I have so many memories, and I can't think of any of them right now. Oh, it's the truth. But I brought the same sense of fun that I do when we play games in our family, and we are a game-playing family for sure. We always end up somehow playing games and loving it and laughing and having such a good time. I hope more families engage in games. I'm going to sneeze. Wait, just a minute.
Go right on. Sure.
I hope I don't blow the studio out. Just hang on now. Hold on to your chair. I don't want to blow you out the window. Oh, there you go. No, it passed, but I thought I was going to sneeze, and I give walloping sneezes.
Pat,
isn't that dreadful? I'm sorry to interrupt that way, but I had to warn you.
No, that's live radio. I enjoy it. That's great.
That's the fun of it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, and it's interesting because people would think it's silly, but somebody will say, well, who'd you have on today? And I'll say, Pat Carroll, and she about sneezed.
Yes, exactly. Making you very human.
Exactly.
Oh, radio. Do you know, I was such a devotee of radio when I was a little girl. I had a favorite tree where some of us neighborhood kids had a little house. One of the papas kind of built us a tree house. And we would spend our days up there playing cards, listening to the radio, just having fun sitting in this treehouse, and Auntie Jane would bring out lemonade and cookies or cake or something sweet to eat. We had all the luxuries of life. It was such joy. I wish every child a treehouse.
Pat, what do you make of the resurgence of game shows this past summer? Password, Match Game, to tell the truth, now back in prime time.
I think people have missed game shows. I think they were popular because people enjoyed playing them at home.
And I'm glad they're
back. And they enjoyed watching people play them.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, Pat, and this is a compliment to you and your contemporaries of the time, because I've watched these shows, and I say they've redone To Tell the Truth and Match Game and Password, but the problem is the celebrity, it's not the I think actually the regular contestants are smarter than they used to be, but the celebrity... Well,
or dumber.
Well, a little bit. I hate to say that. Use that word.
No, I hate to say it. It's your opinion.
Well, you know that when you were on, I mean, and I'm serious, and I'm including you in this, Pat Carroll, I remember Kitty Carlisle. I remember Arlene Francis. I remember Lucille Ball loved to play him.
Uh-huh.
These people really were smart.
Yep.
Something different now about the celebrities up there.
I think celebrities today rely too much on their celebrity and not enough on their humanity.
When I think about even Hollywood Squares, Kay Ballard, Paul...
Oh, was Kay marvelous!
Oh.
She is such a brilliant, funny lady, and she's naturally got that gift. She is a most gifted comedian.
Well, I'll tell you, and Match Game was one of my favorites because it wasn't trivia. It was just extemporaneous fun. But the issue...
Yeah.
But back then, what makes it different than now is that back then, when they went to Pat Carroll or Kay Ballard or Charles Nelson Reilly or Betty White, there was a real... sometimes it was funny, sometimes it was bawdy, but it was really thought out. Today, not quite there.
Yeah. What a gentle way of putting it. Not quite there.
You know.
Well, I think it's a difference, maybe in celebrities today. Who knows? But I think the quality of the people you mentioned was so... now, so spontaneous, so real, they made it so. And they also happen to be very bright people.
Well, and I do want to say this, because here's something interesting. The only person from that era who I have seen make an appearance on these new versions is Betty White.
Oh, well, Betty can do anything.
Hey, Betty can.
I saw her when I was a teenager, and I'm not putting Betty in the older lady class. But as a teenager living in Los Angeles, she was on a daily television show, the beginning of her career. And I was fascinated by her, her personality, her grasp of things, her brightness. And I began watching Betty White when I was a teenager because she was so good. And she was so human, and she was so bright.
Well, and the thing of it is, and that's exactly right, you can tell when she's a panelist in her 90s now on these shows, she still outdoes the people. But my complaint is, because I love Betty, I think Betty should stay there, but she's not the only person still with us who was on these shows. I would love to see a Pat Carroll. I'd love to see a Kay Ballard. You guys are still around. You guys
We're still here. We're still kicking.
Darn right. We're kicking
and
today.
And Kay is a marvelous panelist because that lady is one of the most natural, funny ladies I've ever known.
Well, and for years on this program, we had Phyllis Diller on, God rest her soul.
Oh, Phyllis, wasn't she marvelous?
Well, you know, Phyllis, and I learned this over the years, Phyllis, if you took her on her stage persona, was a funny-looking, funny character. Phyllis Diller could play the piano. Phyllis Diller went to college. Phyllis Diller was not a dumb woman.
No, not at all. A very bright woman.
And that's what I think. Maybe that's it. Because, Pat, I'll tell you honestly, last time you were on, you talked about the shyness of actors and how you studied people when you would be sitting on a park bench.
Yeah.
And I was so fascinated by that because it's true. And I don't think actors, and not putting them down hard, but the actors today would not have that sensibility because everything's so quick.
Well, and everything is so show busy. Actors are being actors and not human beings. And there's a big difference. Acting is what you do. It's not who you are.
Exactly. Exactly. Pat, I do want to remind people how we're going to do this, because the original premise of Match Game was the host would read a sentence, the celebrity guest would give a word to fill in the blank, and then the panelist would already have written down a word and they had to match it. Now, we can't do it that way, so here's what we're going to do. We've got Pat Carroll with us. We're going to do about 10 of these questions. Pat will fill in the answer. We are going to write down the answers to these questions. Then what we're going to do is we're going to take about a half hour and not talk about it, come back, and then ask the questions again with a blank in there, and the audience will have to call in and tell us what you said to win the big prize.
Then if they get the same word I give, they win?
They win.
Oh, yay, team. I hope everybody's happy.
Absolutely. So here we go. This is how Match Game is played with one of the originals, Pat Carroll. Question number one. Are we ready to log these down? We are. Okay. Ben & Jerry's has great ice cream. Which flavor describes the candidates running for president in 2006?
First, I have to think of the candidate. Ben and Jerry. Blueberry.
We got blueberry. Dan Quayle misspelled the word potato. Donald Trump would misspell blank.
Any word. I don't think he's a good speller.
That could be right.
And if that's the worst that's ever said about him, God bless him.
That's right. Dora is really dumb. She's the only girl in kindergarten with blank.
Pigtails.
The salesman said the caterpillar must be an athlete. He just bought 100 sneakers and a blank.
The what?
The caterpillar.
Oh, the caterpillar. Say that again for me,
okay.
Please.
The salesman said the caterpillar must be an athlete. He just bought 100 sneakers and a blank.
100 sneakers. Roller skates.
That's a good answer. Peter Pan said to Captain Hook, "Don't tell a soul, Captain, but Tinkerbell is blank."
Is a little devil.
You know your blind date is going to be really bad when she can blank.
Really sad?
Really bad. B-A-D.
Oh, really bad.
Yes.
When she blank.
Yeah, when she blank.
Really sad when she cries.
Cries. What's big and green and covered with fuzz? The answer, the jolly green blank.
String bean.
The police commissioner said, "I think Batman and Robin are blank."
Guilty.
Now these last three are just word association. Blank your hands.
Clap.
Ah. Cuckoo blank.
The clock.
Thomas blank.
Doubting.
Ah, perfect. And we now have those all down. Pat, I can never thank you enough for coming on. Anytime you come on.
Oh, please. It's always a joy and a pleasure. You're so welcoming and so fun.
Pat, you are an American treasure, and I hope you keep on keeping on and keep on coming back.
Oh, keep that thought for me. I appreciate it. And bless you for having me on. I always enjoy it.
Thank you. The one and only Pat Carroll. Thank you, Pat.
Bye. I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye. Pat Carroll. Well, now we got it. We got the answers taken down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you think of Pat Carroll playing the Match Game there?
Pretty neat.
One of the all-time originals.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got all the answers written down now.
Mm-hmm.
We are good to go.
Yeah.
Now, do you think somebody will get one right off the bat?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, let's try it. Well, hey, you'll win right now. You will win
what is it? Two tickets to Tecumseh. If you can answer this. Dan Quayle misspelled the word potato. What word do you think Donald Trump would misspell? Give us a call. Tell us Pat Carroll's answer. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You will win two tickets to Tecumseh if you can tell us what Pat Carroll just answered today on the old match game. Dan Quayle misspelled the word potato. What word do you think Donald Trump would misspell? Two tickets to Tecumseh. Oh, and we're getting a call here. Let's go to the old phone line. Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Any word.
Any word. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Is that what she said,
yeah,
Pat
yeah.
Carroll said?
Yeah.
Okay, any word. Well, Steve, you win two tickets to Tecumseh.
I'm not coming back to Ohio anytime soon, so I will relinquish my prize to the next person who calls you.
Sounds good. Thank you, Steve. Well, there we go. We know we have a listener in Pennsylvania. Of course, legendary Steve Cannon. We're glad he listened. Now, 740-383-9944, the next person we can get to call in here and repeat what Steve Cannon just said, which was a repeatal, made up your own word there, which was a repeatal of what Pat Carroll said during the match game segment there. 740-383-9944, two tickets to Tecumseh. Dan Quayle misspelled the word potato. What word do you think Donald Trump would misspell? 740-383-9944. Terry, do you think that Pat Carroll might be right on that one?
I think she may be right.
She might have hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
By the way, we might even, because Tecumseh is a sort of far away down there in Chillicothe, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what, you can have your choice. You can have tickets to the Columbus Zoo. You can have tickets to Zumbezi Bay. You can have tickets to Kosai. Or you can have tickets to Tecumseh. Just answer the question. What did Pat Carroll answer that question with? What was in the blank? And then, of course, Steve Cannon just called in and tell us what was in the blank for Steve. Same answer. And you can have your pick. Not just Tecumseh. You can have Kosai. You can have the Columbus Zoo. You can have Zumbezi Bay. You can have Kosai. These are $50 ticket values here when you get two of them.
Yeah,
they're at least $25 apiece for admission.
Easily, yeah.
So the question again, what did Pat Carroll say? Dan Quayle misspelled the word potato. What do you think Donald Trump would misspell? What word did Donald Trump misspell, says Pat Carroll? Do you think he could make it as a game show host? That's tough work.
That's real tough, yeah.
It's tough to get through that. 740-383-9944. While we're waiting on that, and you do have 23 minutes to weigh in on that, we're going to get back to the conversations we were having before. Now, the conversations we were having before were based on what's going on in our political world as we speak, as the Democratic National Convention kicks off tonight. Where do you think Trump is? Who's it going to hurt more, Trump or Kasich? Because Trump is after Kasich now. $2 to $4 million he's going to spend, he says, to unseat Governor John Kasich as governor. And do you think another Republican would get in that race if Trump is against Kasich?
Well, I think it would definitely open it up. I mean, for another Republican
Or would he hand it over to a Democrat?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, seeing who they, I don't know if there is a strong Democrat that could run
in Ohio.
In Ohio,
you don't think we have one?
Oh, I'm sure we got one, but I mean, the last opponent he had.
Well, where did Ed Fitzgerald come from? He came from up there in Cuyahoga County somewhere,
yeah,
didn't he?
Wasn't he the county commissioner or something of Cuyahoga County?
What about a Sherrod Brown?
Sherrod Brown would be good. Yeah.
What about a Ted Strickland?
But I don't think Sherrod Brown or Strickland would run because they don't want to lose their seats in the Senate and things, right? Because then, well, but if we had a new governor, I mean, based on whatever the party is of the governor, they could.
Do you think Senate is more important than governor?
In my eyes, it is. I mean, because you're dealing more on a national level, and you're bringing things to your state. Whereas the governor does too, but I mean, it's just you're more on a national. You're getting national funding for things. And
if you are somebody in Ohio who voted for Governor Kasich, obviously you're probably a Republican.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you voted for him twice now. You voted for him against Ted Strickland. You voted for him against Ed Fitzgerald. Now,
the Republican presidential contender, or by that time, could be the Republican president, comes and spends $4 million to get rid of John Kasich, does that put you favorable with Trump or unfavorable?
I would think if you voted for him, I think you would be unfavorable with Donald Trump trying to unseat your governor.
Well, I guess my question is, does the love for Trump, excuse the pardon, the love for Kasich?
Yeah, I think it would. I think that a lot of people that voted for Kasich twice would be appalled that he would do that.
Would you rather have a Republican governor or a Republican president?
Well, obviously, you always want a Republican president, but a Republican governor wouldn't hurt either. I mean, you know, if you had that.
Do you think there's something to be said? Oh, and I think we're getting a phone call here. This is going to be good. Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead. Caller, are you there?
Just barely here. I'm getting a little bit of a static.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear your voice.
Yeah, haven't had an occasion to call in lately.
Well, we were at the convention last week. I just wondered if you were out or we were out, but we're glad you're back.
Okay. I'll tell you, I'm getting pretty much, I wouldn't say frustrated. I'm getting sick of the presidential thing. It is such nonsense, the people that are running it. And I would consider it a badge of honor if I could fall on Donald Trump's hit list.
Well, you, I think at one point, said you tend to vote more Republican. Are you a fan of Governor Kasich?
Yes.
Okay, that being said, does the fact that Donald Trump has pledged to spend $4 million in Kasich's next re-election campaign to unseat him mean anything to you?
Absolutely nothing. In other words, I would go all out to vote for Kasich if Trump is going to basically try to sabotage it.
Would you have voted for Trump if Kasich had not...
I wouldn't vote for Trump under any circumstance.
Okay, here's...
I think he's such a moron.
Okay, now that being said, what did you make of that convention last week?
I accidentally watched 5 minutes of it. After the ball game, I just said, I wonder what's happening there. And they had Trump's hump up there making an idiot of herself by plagiarizing Obama.
Will you watch any of the Democratic convention this week?
No.
No. Okay, so that being said, we've kind of followed this along with you. You say you would not vote for Trump under any circumstances, but you are an Ohio Republican who would vote for John Kasich. That being said, who are you voting for?
Whoever, I don't even know his name yet. The guy that's neither Democrat or Republican.
Gary Johnson.
That would be the fellow.
Okay. Now,
at least he makes sense.
Do you feel like you're flushing your vote down the toilet?
I'd rather flush it down and give it to either of the two major candidates.
We know why you don't like Trump. I think you called him an idiot. Why don't you like Hillary?
I just don't feel that I can trust Hillary.
Now, what do you think she's going to... Okay, now we know why I think if somebody calls Trump an idiot, well, we're afraid he's not going to be able to handle the presidency very well, I think is the translation there. Okay, not trust Hillary. What would she do when she got in there that would be not trustworthy, that would make her not good in that job?
I think she would probably do she obviously would do a much, much better job than Trump. But I just don't... I don't think she can be trusted. It's going to be the Clinton family reunion again. And Bill, I think, is a scoundrel, you know.
Well, this,
he has the morals of a pig.
Well, this being said, this is interesting. Now, Gary Johnson probably, I think, is more to the left than Hillary is. Because
he's already handled a lot of things that no other candidates have. When he was the governor of New Mexico... he had to handle immigration and such. I mean, they're right there and keep them out.
Well, no, Gary Johnson says grant the amnesty to the people here.
Yes, and I agree with him.
Okay, but so does Hillary.
Okay.
And Gary Johnson says legalize marijuana. Hillary doesn't say legalize marijuana.
Johnson doesn't have a wife that would be his partner in in administration.
Now, Terry, I want you to weigh in because you are Bill Clinton's the greatest president. This is not me. This is Terry. Weigh into that critique of Hillary.
Well, I mean, obviously, from my standpoint, I mean, I helped my dad around that time, and I know he had some properties and things, and I know you had to run from a job back then because there were so many jobs that were plentiful. And I just think you're getting two for the price of one if you do get that. I mean, the economy was, I mean, we had zero debt back then, so.
I know that. One of the big things that really turned people off when Bill got there, he actually basically put her in charge in a sort of a pseudo cabinet position as the health person.
He did.
I think she got 8 million kids.
The complaint about that was that we didn't vote for a team. We voted for a person.
But when Ronald Reagan put Nancy Reagan in charge of drugs, was that wrong?
That was just a campaign. And there was no official thing. There was no generation of any else. It's just basically, you know.
Well, there were generations of laws because of the war on drugs.
Yes, but I mean, she was just nothing but a spokesman. She wasn't actively doing anything other than getting on television and telling the kids not to use drugs.
Well, somebody who was actively involved in something was Barbara Bush in literacy.
Okay.
And that was not a spokesperson position.
But the literacy thing didn't necessarily generate spending a lot of money or making basic adjustments.
Well, didn't
not to the extent that Hillary.
Well,
didn't she get 8 million kids health care coverage?
But now wait a second before, and we'll get to that in a second. This is a good conversation to have about first ladies. Lady Bird Johnson did the beautification project, which cost a lot of money. Then we go on to Nancy Reagan, who did the war on drugs, which did cost, she might have been the spokesperson, but it cost a lot of money to implement DARE and programs like that.
And was it a good cause?
Certainly.
Okay.
And so was beautification, and so was literacy, and so is health care. They're all things, and so is obesity, which is Michelle Obama's.
The health care thing is such a large project. Hillary undoubtedly had some good ideas in that, but the people at that time did not want a dual presidency.
Right, but now, why is that a dual presidency, but the war on drugs, the beautification, the obesity?
Because they're very minor league, basically on the amount of money required to do it, and the very changes in politics. In other words, very much a socialist type of thing. Now, I totally agree with Obamacare, 100%. That's one thing that you guys don't seem to ever give Kasich any credit for, was what he did to give a lot of people that could not afford health care. He basically took the money and gave it to a lot of people.
No, I did.
Now, you guys don't seem to feel that anything he does is okay.
That's not true. I personally have no bone with Governor Kasich at all. I will say, just like any other Ohio citizen, I certainly think that he should have attended the convention just to...
Oh, no. He took the proper move there.
No, now listen. It was his state, and he could have gotten up there and said, thank you for bringing this economic boom to Cleveland. Thank you so much. Goodbye. He was in Cleveland last week. You know, this is what the media didn't cover. I was there. Kasich was in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
Kasich did meet with the delegates.
Yeah, they covered a lot of that in the dispatch, yeah.
Right. And also, the Democratic mayor of Cleveland spoke at the Republican convention. He certainly is no fan of Donald Trump, but all he said was, thank you for bringing this economic boom to Cleveland. Welcome to Cleveland. We're going to keep you safe.
Did they make more money than they spent on basically keeping it safe?
I don't know what the...
It's probably at best an even break there.
Well, I'm not sure. Have we made any money back on Governor Kasich's presidential campaign?
Well, I'm sure you guys are going to bring up the fact that he's going to continue to do that. He's going to, I think it's Vermont or New Hampshire.
Well, no, the problem with Kasich here is not, I mean, I think anybody sticking to their convictions is fine. Ted Cruz saying what he said, that's fine by me. And if Bernie Sanders got up tonight and said, I'm unhappy with what happened here, and I don't want to endorse Hillary, I'm fine with that. Stand on your own conviction.
Absolutely.
But when the state, because you can darn well bet, had it been any other candidate, Kasich would have been there. And Cruz went and certainly did not agree with Donald mm-hmm. Trump. But all he had to do was get up there and say, I am the governor of this state. I am a Republican. You're the Republican delegation. Thank you for coming and having this event here. Have a safe, great time.
Now, that was a direct backslap to Trump. That was all that was.
Well, that's right. And that's petty.
I agree with that.
I don't agree, because he has done that since, by releasing the news that he was offered the vice presidency, mm-hmm. by going and writing his op-ed piece saying he's not sure if he would vote for him, calling him a divider. There are other ways to backslap Trump, which he has done. He didn't have to go in his own state and not even show up. Nobody said he had to endorse him. And I just can't believe he did that.
I mean, as a citizen,
probably
I'm embarrassed.
That's the most effective thing to have done. To just show up there, or to basically turn his back on him and say, well, I have nothing to do with you.
He could have done that.
Well, that's what he did.
But this was about
not showing up.
But this was about the state. This was about his Republican Party. Who are those delegates? I know there were 66 of them there who said, we support Governor Kasich. Why mm-hmm. couldn't he have been there for them?
By not showing up, he probably had a bigger impact.
Well, I think he did. Now he's got Donald Trump on his back.
Oh, who cares?
Well, who cares now? But, a governor's election in Ohio, $4 to $6 million is a lot to spend from one person to take you down.
Yeah. But I can't imagine, of course, I never imagined that as many voters as did and went for Trump to start with. But I can't imagine that anyone that feels about Trump as I do would think that's like giving him an endorsement by saying that Trump doesn't support him.
But do you think?
Money.
But do you think Ted Cruz endorsed him last week?
No, absolutely not.
So why could Kasich not have done that?
Because he took the most effective one, the one that showed his disdain for Trump.
But I'm not sure if in the end it became effective, because Trump did get a bump out of the campaign, and the Kasich thing didn't seem to hurt him a whole lot.
Everyone gets a bump after the convention, and the next week it's gone when the other team comes up and starts theirs.
But he got a bump in Ohio. I don't know. I think, and just back to the Hillary point, I'm not sure every first lady has their pet project. That's what they do. And if hers was health care, that's what she... I don't think they lied about it. And then I think they came right out and said, this is what we're going to do.
But it was not well received.
I don't think Obamacare has been all received by Republicans who've tried to repeal it 5 million times.
Yeah, true. But so I know my daughter's disappointed in me. She sends me material all the time that Hillary's good and all that. But I can't bring myself to vote for her.
Based on...
I don't like her.
Don't like her. Well, I guess we'll see what happens, because highly unlikely we're going to get Gary Johnson. So are you thinking, who are we going to get?
Probably Clinton.
And is that going to be horrible?
It would be an improvement over Trump, but I'm still not happy with her as a candidate.
Well, it'll be interesting. Thank you for calling in.
Sure.
Again, the phone lines are open. Now, we've got plenty of political questions out there, and we'll let Terry respond to that in a second, because I know he had something to say. And again, we do have the trivia question out there. You can get 2 tickets to the zoo, 2 tickets to Zumbezi Bay, 2 tickets to Tecumseh, 2 tickets to Kosai. All you have to do is remember what Pat Carroll said earlier on. The question was, Dan Quayle misspelled the word potato. Donald Trump would misspell what word? Okay, let's go to the phones. You're on the air.
Okay. I had to get into this.
Go ahead.
I really thought that John Kasich would have made an excellent vice president if Donald Trump had used his head.
Well,
very honestly, this is a guy who has, in fact, learned how to walk the halls of Congress and get things done.
So now...
And I think that there would have been good balance there had, in fact, it had been Trump, very forward, forceful, a little more laid-back John Kasich, who knows how to get things done.
I agree with you, and he would have carried Ohio, which he desperately needs. Why did Kasich turn it down?
I'm not absolutely sure, and I wish I could come up with an answer to that. Now, let's go to the Democratic Party. I'm not sure if you saw the video, which I saw this morning. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was speaking at a Democratic event in Miami, I believe, which is her home state. And she was booed.
Absolutely.
Booed vehemently.
Should have been.
This concerns me greatly, and I'll tell you why. The millennials apparently are so steeped in the concept of a socialist government or government's necessity to give you something that they just will not give up until Bernie Sanders gets some kind of a government job with the Clinton administration, if in fact there is one.
Here's the question for you, Steve, because we haven't talked about this. You obviously are a fan of Governor Kasich. I think we talked before when you were here, you were a fan of Ted Cruz. What do you make of Donald Trump?
Nope, not a Ted Cruz fan.
Oh, it was Ben Carson you were a fan of.
Ben Carson, yeah.
Okay, so that all that being said, definitely, well, we're talking, you spent a lot of time in Ohio, definitely a fan of Governor Kasich. After the brouhaha, which is Kasich doesn't come to the convention, Trump calls him a name, says he's going to spend $4 to $6 million to get Kasich out of office. Where does that put you as a Kasich fan? How does that put Trump in your eyes at this point?
Well, very honestly, I guess maybe, and not my opinion per se, but I just kind of get the feeling that in Ohio, the revenge of Donald Trump, if it were a movie, okay, may in fact turn against him in Ohio with, obviously, Democrats, but with Republicans as well.
So who wins Ohio in 3 months? If it were held today, who would win it?
That's really hard to say. Both of the candidates, the presumptive candidate of the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton, is, and this again is just me, she's one that, like Obama, enjoys raging class warfare. On the flip side, you've got a Donald Trump on the other side, who in fact gets off on fear, or at least appears to call on the fears, many of them sound, of most Americans. I'm not sure I'm nuts about either candidate at this point.
Well, so where does that put you? Are you, like our last caller, maybe taking a look at Gary Johnson?
No. And very honestly, I am so strongly anti-drug of any kind, and specifically stricter regulations on the distribution of prescription medication, that I would not vote for a libertarian.
So this puts you, or will you stay home?
No.
Okay. Well, then now we're.
I have an obligation.
Well, now we're in an interesting. Now we're in an interesting category, because I tell you, some Americans who are staying home: Jeb Bush, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, possibly John Kasich. Well, John Kasich has basically said he's voting for the Libertarian because Kasich says he does feel it a duty. He said, I won't vote for Hillary Clinton, but I also won't vote for Donald Trump. So we know, without saying it, unless he's voting for the Green Party or just going to write somebody in. So we know where Kasich's voting. We know where Jeb, we know the Bush family's all staying home. We know that, we know those votes. So that being said, where do you fall?
As far as what, Scott?
Well, you're a conservative. You said this.
Yes.
This is no mistake.
Make no bones about it.
Make no bones about it. But
I think I'm more of a libertarian than a conservative, but I am a conservative, I believe.
But not a fan of Donald Trump. So you're not going to vote for Gary Johnson, but you are going to vote. Who would you vote for if the election were held today?
Out of the people available currently?
Yes. Well, I think those are going to be the same bunch, as far as I know.
Well, I think, very honestly, I may write in Thelma Harper.
Mama.
Yeah.
Well, why not? She, one point, ran for Irwin Corey's still alive at 102.
Well, very honestly, one of her spots for MeTV was an election-oriented commercial. And she said she could get the red, white, and blue hairs to vote for her, okay?
Well, this
and it was supposed to be funny, but I think it would be even funnier if somebody actually wrote in Thelma Harper's name.
Here's something interesting, and we're running out of time, but Steve, I hope you call in the future, but this is important, because this is important dialogue to have, and I think the most interesting election we're going to see in anybody's lifetime, just for who it is. But as a Republican, as a conservative, the fact that you are going to write somebody in and not vote Donald Trump, even though you're not voting Hillary, you're taking the same stance Kasich is, and the Bushes, are you electing Hillary Clinton in the back of your mind?
Actually, I'm either going to vote Democrat or Republican, but I'm not saying who, because I will not know until I go into the voting booth.
Not sold on Trump, though.
See, Donald Trump says what I think, but he doesn't say it the way I would say it. I don't know if that makes sense, but it does to me.
But does it weigh that he's in warfare with Kasich?
That really concerns me. It is unfortunate, and that may, in my opinion, cost him the state of Ohio, Republicans and Democrats.
Any chance you would vote for Hillary Clinton?
No.
Then we know you're voting for Donald Trump. You said you were going to vote for the Republican or the Democrat.
No.
So you're voting for Trump?
I'm not voting for Trump. I'm not voting for Hillary yet.
Yet.
I do not know until I go into the voting booth what I'm going to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is going to be an interesting week with the Democratic Convention, and you know I love you, Steve, and I love these conversations, so I hope you stay tuned to this program, and do come back with us. Call in anytime. That's an open invitation.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Love you, Ohio.
Steve Boom Boom Cannon, legendary radio host from Ohio for many years. We love when he calls in. Great thoughts, great opinions, as always. Guess what? We are going to close up here today. Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett will be on next hour. That's always a lot of fun. But for this day, this is me rounding third and heading, maybe rounding home. I don't know today. Rounding home, heading for the dugout. Talk with you tomorrow.
To do that kind of show, and I kept saying, no, I won't, no, I won't, no, I won't, no, I won't. And I made a conscious decision to do what I didn't want to do because I needed the money. And I had various